Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
A manager baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
The fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
Wire 1049 1019 AM 1260. Myself, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Pikachu bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. A little bit late getting out of the gate here, but we are on and cooking just a little bit off and after 9 a.m. Getting you started out right. We got 3 hours of sports to talk for you right now. Hey, you know what our job is? Our job is to keep everybody happy. It's entertainment, right? That's what we do here on the Wagner Wire. We give you some sports knowledge, but we like to say 50-50, right? 50-50 facts, 50-50 entertainment. It's all factual, but we blend it in with some entertainment in there. You know, because a lot of people like their coffee different ways, eh? We just got to give it a little bit of spice and a little bit of entertainment. You know, everybody, I love rabbit holes. Zay has himself some rabbit holes. In the first segment, we're going to go down some NBA rabbit holes here, get it going, and then we're going to have Chris Sweet come on, talk a little bit about this Darius Geis incident and where we want to go with maybe supplementing another running back. Are you going to put it all on Adrian Peterson all day? Can he still get it done all day? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, you know, running back by committee there for Washington, see what they're going to do. If you're in a dynasty league like myself and you already took Geis, well, things are a little bit looking sour for you. And we also need to talk a little bit about the Patriots, too. A lot of NFL players are opting out. A majority of the Patriots, Patrick Chung, some really high, I would say, profile players for the Patriots, mostly on defense, and not so much skill and positional players, but, you know, kind of like key cogs on the team. They're opting out. And I got a little bit of a conspiracy theory myself on maybe why they're doing that. Are they tanking, trying to go for Trevor Lawrence? I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But also, we got some MLB to get into with Al Walsh and some NHL. We got the qualifying matches happening. We got the round robin. Not looking good for the Caps right now. So we need all Caps to come out and do one hell of a match today with the Boston Bruins. So anyways, welcome to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Happy you guys are with us. You could be anywhere in the world, but you choose to be with our sorry asses for 3 hours. We got you filled with sports. Little change of pace, man. We got a lot of NBA to talk about, man. NBA's not really in the playoff realm yet, but I still look at this as, like, these 8 games, it's a sprint. It's almost like play-in games to get into the NBA.
Yo, if I said this on B&E this past week, it feels like March Madness, dog.
100%.
It feels like you're getting into that point to where a lot of teams have a lot to play for, but it has that March Madness feel. Like, they're in a bubble. It's like it's a little tournament.
Like,
basically,
anything could happen. Like, yeah, any team could go on a run.
And you're seeing these guys, like, after the games, too. Like, you're seeing them play cornhole and golf and, you know, in the cafe and stuff.
So let me ask you a question about this.
It's getting real interesting, Wags.
Do you think that this is actually better for the psyche of the athlete to stay, to always stay invigorated or, you know, not detached from, I guess, the team and have your little bit of isolation? Because, I mean, we all know that you and I, we preach mental health all the time, and being alone in isolation for myself is actually more positive for me mentally than I think just being around a whole bunch of people and just being in a stimulated culture. Or, you know, I mean, like, just like around a whole bunch of people. So to me, I think, you know, self-isolation and, you know, being in my room,
you know, in solitary is great. Other people might not and be like, yeah, I'm embracing, you know, being out there with the public and in the culture. You think that's a little bit better for athletes?
See, that's the thing, Wags. You know, everybody's different. So since everybody's different, we don't really know what works best for whoever. Like some guys need, you know, to be secluded and have their games and, you know, be with their family and whatnot. And some guys need to go to Magic City and get lemon pepper wings. Like everybody has their own different.
What's it, lemon pepper?
Yeah, hell yeah. What? Come on,
it's gotta
man.
It's got to be that dry rub. It's got to be dry rub.
It's got to be dry rub for sure. But yeah, everybody has their own way of going about things, and it depends on what works for that individual. But it keeps you locked in. Like you have no choice but to stay locked in. But you know, like we say about mental health, like we just watched The Last Dance with Jordan and then they let Rodman go to Vegas because Phil knew that was what was best for Rodman, and what was best for Rodman, what was best for the team. So it just, everybody's different, and we don't know. Why are you laughing, man?
John, because I'm trying to think of a Lou Williams as Rodman now. Oh, you know what I mean?
No, he's not Rodman.
No one is Rodman.
No, no one's Rodman, but that's...
You're not celebrating with Carmen Electra on your lap. Like, like people have celebrated before, try and put that in perspective. You just won the NBA title. You got back from Vegas, what, a week ago? Maybe you got drug out of the room by Michael Jordan, and now you're winning a championship. You're smoking a cigar. You got a glass of champagne in your hand.
You got
Carmen Electra just sitting on your lap.
You're living.
It's pretty good.
You're living.
Good life. LIVIN. Keep it coming, baby.
Absolutely.
All the time. All right, so you know, we all know I love rabbit holes, man. You get me teased a little bit in pre-show talking about you got a rabbit hole theory that you want to talk about with the NBA, and you won't even give me a sniff of what's going on.
I mean, everything yesterday was just like the NBA soap opera. Like it was.
Are you saying it's scripted?
No, it's not scripted. Okay. It's not. It's like a reality show. Let's say that. It's like a reality show that's not scripted.
Okay.
But it was petty yesterday. Yeah. And it started with the Clippers and Blazers. And, you know, every game yesterday, there were five games. And, that's petty. That's petty.
Very petty.
There were five games yesterday. Not one game did the winning team win by 10 points or more. So every game you know, in the heat of the battle, there were two overtime games. So back to the Clippers Blazers, Dame, he has a chance to take the lead for the Blazers in clutch time. I think there are like less than 20 seconds left, or around 18 seconds. And Dame missed both free throws. Wow. Patrick Beverley, again, the Clippers, they didn't play nobody this game. Pat Bev didn't play. Kawhi didn't play. Montrezl Harrell, I don't even know if he's in the bubble yet. He's supposed to be back soon, but he's still not back. But they didn't play their big guys, so Pat Bev's over there talking all types of mess, and when Dame missed the free throws, he went nuts. He went nuts, and it was petty. He did the Dame, you know,
the bye-bye
that Dame did to Paul George and Russ at OKC last year in the playoffs, and it was petty. So then Dame went to the media, and he, you know, he was petty too in a way. But in one thing about Dame is so professional. It's like, man, it's like he understands that, okay.
Like a dignitary.
I know I'm professional. I know I'm humble, but I'm not going back down from no one. You know, and we could really appreciate that. Like, damn, he doesn't talk mess, but yeah, he has a lot of beefs. Like the Russell Westbrook beef and...
I always thought that was just like the little guy syndrome. You know, because he's one of the smaller guards in the NBA, man. So I thought maybe he just had a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, but he's not like initiating these things. Like,
Very true. He's responding.
He's just responding. He's just responding. And with the Pat Bev situation, he went on to say, yo, I take it as respect. Like, I sent Pat Bev home in the playoffs. I've sent Paul George home in the playoffs. They know what I can do. So those
twisting
guys,
that butter knife in the side right there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's cold-blooded. So, you know, PG went to Twitter and said they're going to be out the playoffs this year, talking about the Blazers. And Pat Bev went to Twitter and basically said the same thing. And Dame responded and said, yo, I don't have to leave to chase these rings like you guys. I'm doing it organically.
I'm building, he said.
Yeah. And I could go to sleep at night knowing that even if I don't win a ring, then out here ring chasing like you two.
Yeah, that cuts, man. That cuts deep.
That's deep.
That cuts deep.
That's deep. But Wags, that's not the rabbit hole that
yeah, I'll get to.
That's,
okay.
That's just setting it up.
We're just on the surface.
Right.
All
right. The worst thing that this could have happened to, like, there's two winners in this. There's the Clippers. They won in a way. And then the Blazers and Dame, they also won. Now, you would think, why did these two win? Because they were both competing the same. The loser is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. All right. Now, three-team conspiracy, or maybe even four.
Oh, it's not really even a conspiracy. Patrick Beverley knows that the Lakers are in their way in the West. Right now, the Lakers look terrible.
They got some holes.
They lost
They're
to
vulnerable,
Indiana.
Man.
They look real vulnerable. They really need to get it together. And again, you never could count LeBron
now,
out.
I wanna
but
hit
they don't
you,
look
I
want to
hit you up last night because it's something that you said last week where you said LeBron's just pacing and making people, you know, kind of playing coy. You know what I mean? Making people think that he's on his 9 when he's really on his 6. Do you think that this could be happening now? You think LeBron's holding back a little bit? Because from what I'm seeing, man, it looks like he's out there trying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know playoff Bron is a different type of animal.
For sure, 100%.
And, you know, I was talking to one of my boys who's a big LeBron fan, and he was like, yeah, LeBron always does this, though. You know, he's the type of guy who he focuses on his body during the offseason more, and then once the NBA starts, he's such a good basketball player, he just kind of gets in a rhythm and everything comes back
just
together.
Flow, yeah.
And he could find that eliteness that we've all known to love.
But the dude also elevates others. You know what I mean? Like that's
right.
Like so I've been challenged to list my favorite athletes of all time, my top 10 favorite athletes of all time and put them from in, you know, rank from 10 to 1, and LeBron is the only modern day athlete that I have in my top 10.
Really?
Yeah. Just I mean, I give homage to a whole bunch of others, but I mean, LeBron, he's for 17 years now, he's just a physical specimen.
And that's the thing, 17 years, like, can
and
he do that?
He's still going, yes,
with these
yes,
guys?
Yes.
Ah, these guys,
yes.
We'll see. Quinn Cook's
okay.
out there running around. Alex Caruso, you know how I feel about him.
Yeah, but Quinn Cook and Caruso, they don't look, I mean, Caruso is the, you can give him a little bit of an excuse because he's just diving on the floor or whatever, but when you're he's still lost. He still looks like he's lost out there at times.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, do you have faith in those guys if they meet in a matchup against Dame and CJ and now Gary Trent Jr. is coming out of nowhere, becoming one of the best three-point shooters in the league out of nowhere? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Patrick Beverley, he understands that the Lakers are in their way. I'm going to piss off Dame because Dame's pissed.
Right.
Dame's one of those guys that, like, yo,
chip
if
on
y'all
the shoulder.
Pissed me off, I'm going to show y'all and drop 50 over and over again. And he knows who's in the Blazers' way. If the Blazers make it out to that AFC, because they're going to get it. The Blazers are going to get it. They're going to get to that ninth seed
spot. You
sold
on that?
I really do, man. Especially now.
Right.
Like they
now
really.
They got, now that they have a little
bit
of.
Yeah, they just woke the dog up. Like Dame's, like they woke him up again. They woke him up again. Like that, he's one of those guys, like we talk about The Last Dance all the time because,
right.
You know, it's relevant. But when Jordan was talking about, you know,
don't
I
give
took
him a
it
reason.
Personal.
Don't give him a reason.
I took it personal. Like the most small things in the world, I took it personal. This ain't no small thing. Like Dame's.
Yeah,
sister.
This ain't somebody that missed somebody at dinner and
no.
didn't come by and shake somebody's hand or say hi at dinner. This is somebody that literally, I mean, you see Patrick Beverley going
oh,
out of his
petty.
Way. Look, almost falling off of the damn chair and everything.
Yeah,
you know, Paul George.
He looks like he's watching Martin. Like, he looks like he's watching Martin or something. Like, that's how he's laughing. Like, that's how he looks. Like, he was being so dramatic, but that he was doing that to get in Dame's head. They don't have to see them in the playoffs.
Right.
Unless if they both somehow make it, you know, advance to, you know, probably the quarterfinals or probably the Western Conference Finals. But because they're getting Dallas in the first round, that's pretty
right
much
now,
a thing.
Right now, yeah.
I feel like I think that's pretty much a thing. If you look at the differential with the other teams, I think Mavs and Clippers, that's a first round for sure matchup. But for the Lakers and Pat Bev's over here poking the bear
right.
and Dame, they don't have to see him no more. But who does? The Lakers.
So you're saying that Patrick Beverley wants to get Dame mad so that Dame can get the Lakers out of the way for the Clippers.
And he might not be thinking that.
But I can get on that cloud.
Yo, these guys aren't dumb, man.
No, they're
these
strategic.
These guys aren't dumb, man.
They're tacticians. I was exactly if I'm Patrick Beverley, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, are you kidding me? Like I'm
Knowing damn well that the Lakers are vulnerable on the perimeter, all you're going to do is light up the – you're going to get one of the best backcourts in the NBA hot. And I saw another tweet that you said, too, about an unsung backcourt. Which team were you talking about?
Probably the Raptors.
I think it was the Raptors with Van Vliet and
Lowry.
And Lowry.
Yeah, they're tough.
Yeah, man. That's a nasty duo, too, dude.
They're tough.
Let's make it a little arcade style right now. And if you could take the bubble teams right now, if you could take two, stop talking to me, Siri. If you could take two tandems, like a combo, a duo, what would be the most lethal duo? Make it NBA Jam style. Would it be LeBron and Anthony Davis? Would it be Kawhi and PG-13? Would it be your dynamic duo out up in the East for Toronto, Van Vliet and Lowry?
It wouldn't be them. It wouldn't be Van Vliet.
But it's I've been thinking about it since I saw that tweet. I've been thinking about like a little bit of Nintendo style, Super NES style with Air Bud and making a Big Daddy Bill Clinton up in there too. Man, yeah. who would be the dynamic duo?
Man, when I love LeBron and AD, but AD, man, I don't know. There's something about AD that I am not sold on.
What's missing?
I don't know. Just maybe the inconsistency. Maybe it's just the Lakers' offense and like how they try to run through him. I don't know. But he's not Giannis. Like people trying to compare the two. Let's stop doing that.
Right.
He's not even close to Giannis. He's not even in Giannis's ballpark.
Athleticism? Or just caliber of play?
Just player.
Right.
Just player. Okay. The things that Giannis does and things that, you know, Anthony Davis does are just completely different. Anthony Davis settles a lot. Giannis rarely settles for jumpers. Like, if he's going to get to the rim, get to the rim. He's going to force y'all to stop him. And sometimes Anthony Davis, you know, gets stuck shooting step backs and whatnot. And if he's not catching lobs from LeBron, like, Anthony Davis relies on LeBron a lot more than we think. A lot more than we think. And that's very scary, you know, going into the playoffs. But, you know, when you got a healthy Paul George and a healthy Kawhi Leonard, like, they're sitting them still. Doc is sitting those guys still.
Do you think it would be a little bit different if the Lakers had a third pivot, if they had a three-man instead of just the – I mean, it's clearly the dynamic duo for the Lake show. But do you realize, like, how you could sit there and say maybe Dame and C.J. McCollum can throw off the Nurkic or whatever? You know,
yeah, that's what's scary about Portland. Like, Portland, they're not an eighth seed. If they're going to be an eighth
seed,
they're
like a four or five.
They're like a four or five. When healthy, which they are now, they're like a four or five. And Nurkic, he's still getting his legs back a little bit, but you could tell that he's a force. And his IQ is really good. Like, he's kind of like a knockoff
Gasol Joker. Is what I was going to say. Are you going to compare him to Joker?
Yeah, he's kind of like a knockoff Joker. Like Nikola Jokic out of Denver.
And we'll talk about that game here in a second, too. But yeah,
and he is like a Marc Gasol. That is a good point. He
like
is
like
Marc Gasol.
His basketball IQ. Marc Gasol has some really good basketball IQ. If you just watch, you know, I mean, you played down low, right? You know the
game. I did it all, Wags.
That's right. You were a three, right?
Is that what
you
Wags, said? I did it all.
Wags,
no, I didn't have a position. I didn't have a position.
He was CC. He was CC's X Factor, baby.
They throw me out there. Whatever y'all need, Zay, you do for us. Whatever the team needed, that's what I did, Wags. Y'all need me to run point today?
I want
to
go back.
Zay, run the point.
I want to go
y'all
back and see some game film, man.
Y'all need me to guard the big center down low?
You know what? To hell with you, man. I tried to get you on my damn team forever, man.
Wags, I have too many miles on me, though.
No, man. No.
I have too many miles on me.
We're going to put the miles together. We're gonna combine our miles and stretch this out. Adult League, baby. Let's go. Well, can we even play now?
No.
With this corona?
When
are we getting back to normal here?
I don't know, but I don't trust
nobody. All right. So we just talked a little bit about that Clippers-Blazers game. 122-117 was the final. Clippers over the Blazers. And then, Zay, you mentioned it. We did have some really good games yesterday. We had a 2-OT game with the Jazz and the Nuggets. You were talking about the Joker. He went off 30 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. What'd you like out of the Jazz and Nuggets?
Yeah, one thing about the Nuggets, they're just so deep, man. They're still not playing Will Barton and Gary Harris, which is really scary. You know, Michael Porter.
Are you surprised with Porter?
I'm not. I'm really
not.
Like,
the hype was always there, but just being prone to injury. That was the only thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Just, you know, I was surprised on, like, how healthy is he. Like, I was, you know, because the shots that he takes, like, you could tell he's confident. and the shots that he makes, like, you could tell he's talented. So, yeah, I like the Nuggets a lot. They're going to be a really tough out. I still think that they need those guys back, Gary Harris and Will Barton, because that makes their team complete. And
for sure.
They can for sure make a run at the title, absolutely.
All right, Lakers, Pacers, you talked a little bit about the vulnerability between the Lake Show, and we teased it last week with Tip of the Week with T.J. Warren. We told you that, you know, now, you know, is this the actual time where T.J. Warren can actually step into this role and become a player? We didn't know. I was kind of up in the air. I didn't know if he would actually be able to take the Pacers and ascend with him, but it looks like, you know, he's out there balling out. I mean, 39 again last night, 5 rebounds, 1 assist against LeBron James's Lake Show.
Yeah, and he's a tough guard. Like when he was coming out of North Carolina State, like, he was an absolute scorer. And he played the four there. And in today's NBA, he's so versatile. Like, he's at a 6'8", 6'9". So he could play the power forward position depending on the matchup. And he was being guarded by Anthony Davis yesterday a lot and giving him buckets. And that's what I mean. Anthony Davis is vulnerable, dog. Like, their team, the Lakers, I would be very worried if I was a Lakers fan.
Dude, so the Lakers come out and they only get 22 to the 33 points in the second half of the Pacers, which allowed the Pacers to actually shrink the deficit there in the first half. But then it just seemed like it was mostly the Pacers just edging out the Lakers in the second half, man. It looked like they just had their number.
Pacers have a lot of underrated point guards, and they do a good job. Like, they do a really good job at putting them on the floor at once, because they're all scrappy, so they hold their own. Like, T.J. McConnell, scrappy point guard. Aaron Holiday, which is the brother of Drew Holiday.
Right.
Like, you know he's going to be a good basketball player. Like, all three Holiday brothers are in the NBA. So, yeah, they could hoop. And then Malcolm Brogdon, who might be one of the most underrated players in the NBA.
You saw how deadly he was last year with he was over Minnesota. Milwaukee, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so... And again, we didn't even mention Victor Oladipo, who's coming back off that injury, who's slowly getting back to his rhythm. Like, it takes time when you come back from those really tough, you know, knee injuries, especially for guards who do a lot of cutting and whatnot. Well, for anyone, but, you know, mentally, it's different for every person.
I'm glad you just said, all the time. I'm glad you just hit mentally, because 2 weeks ago, Oladipo didn't even know if he was going to opt out or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now, and now, you know, his mind's right. It seems like his mind's right. He's getting his game, you know, fresh in his head mentally, and then he's getting his game fresh with his legs as well. So I think the Pacers are in a pretty decent spot. I don't think they're not going to make the run. We did see the best team in the East last night go up against the seventh team in the West, and that was one hell of a showdown.
What a game.
Dude, okay. Like, everybody knows that I'm amazed with Luka, just because it's a second-year player. I mean, and the guy, you say it all the time, he plays like a 10-year veteran. But I would not in my right mind dream of throwing a pass in between my legs in overtime.
That's stupid.
Through the lane. That is the dumbest thing I've seen in basketball.
Why would anyone do that?
And he somehow pulled it off. I mean, the pass was a little bit behind Kleba, but it doesn't matter, dude.
Like, you see me shaking my head here. It's just like,
I'm trying to be critical, but I mean,
there's nothing to be critical about. Like, I give him the keys to the Ferrari. Like, he's for the next 10 years,
Jesus.
Wags, we're just gonna see greatness, man. And like, again, I said it in a tweet like 2 years ago when I came on the Wagner Wire for the first few times. We're talking about the draft, and you were asking me, who do I like coming out? And I said, I liked
Young over Luka. A lot of people didn't know that. Like, yeah. I liked Young over Luka,
right,
man.
Right, and he should be probably the number two pick. But it was Luka first. And I was like, yo, man, what I watched in that FIBA World Cup in 2017, like, they were, and I think it was one of the European Cups, I don't know, but it was televised on NBA TV. And him and Gordon Dragic took over Europe. Like, they were dominating people like Ricky Rubio and, you know, France and all the top teams that you've always seen.
Spain.
Yeah, Spain. All those top teams, they were beating those teams. And Luka was taking over. And he was only, like, 18 then. He was only 18 then, and he was absolutely dominant. I was like, yo, man, this is a different type of domination.
We joke on his craftiness and his slowness, right? Because
he ain't slow no more, Wags.
But it does look a little, I mean, it's the speed is a little bit slower than most people out there, is what I'm saying. But it looks like he does play like a crafty veteran already. Like a seat, like he really does his mechanics, his movements on the floor, his angles that you talk about as well, knowing the angles. He moves around like a 10-year veteran. But you also see that with his body as well. Like sometimes it looks like his body, to me, in my opinion, it looks like his body is hurting sometimes. How long do you think Luka has in the tank? Because he looks like an old man, dude. He really does.
I think he
besides his face, he looks like an old man.
Yo, again, he has been playing professional basketball
for a long time. So there's miles on those wheels.
There are miles on those wheels for sure. But again, we got a good decade of him being elite. Like, he's only 21 years old.
That's crazy.
And one thing that I love about him is how big he is, which makes him more versatile than what people think. That changes your team. Like, they're hard to guard. When you got Porzingis at the five and Luka's playing point, but he might guard the four on your opposing team, depending on the matchup. They had Giannis out there, so he wasn't guarding the four as much.
And when Kleba gets in there, too, then they're huge.
The three. Yeah, now they're a lot bigger. And Kleba, who is really talented and really underrated, nobody talks about him, but he's a really good shooter, a solid defender. Like, he was guarding Giannis, even though Giannis had 34, he was making Giannis work. And that's the biggest thing with guarding Giannis, you know, Antetokounmpo. Like, you have to make him work on both ends of the floor. And Kleber did a great job of doing that. But when you pack, you know, Finney Smith on the wing, who's a really good shooter and defender, good 3-and-D guy, then Seth Curry, obviously he's a Curry, so you know what he could do. And, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a guy who could get a shot on his own every once in a while. Like, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about that Clippers matchup in the first round, dog. Like, I'm really excited about that matchup.
We'll tease this real quick, and then we'll come back with Chris Sweet. Are you more excited for the West or are you more excited for the East?
Oh, of course the West.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at.
Like, it has to be the West because, again,
there's just too much unknown in the West, right?
Right.
Too much uncertain. Any team can
No, Wags, I'm telling you.
I don't know. I want to say 2-1-3 through the Clippers or the Lakers, but we made some really good, strong points. There's a lot of vulnerability right now.
Yeah.
A lot of vulnerability.
Don't sleep on the Suns, but I still think the Trailblazers are going to get to that eighth spot, and the Lakers don't want to see Dame and CJ.
Are Suns undefeated right now?
5-0.
5-0 in the bubble?
5-0 in the bubble. They're like, I think, a game back from that knife spot.
Booker.
Oh, he's so
Booker.
Tough. He's so tough, man.
He's pretty deadly. All right, we're going to take a break. And on this side, we will have Chris Sweet come on and talk a little bit about fantasy football. We got Geis to talk about and how to supplement the backfield issues because of him opting out. Well, it was really domestic violence. But then after he was released by Washington, he opted out of the NFL season. We'll talk a little bit more about that and some other scenarios you need with fantasy football on the other side. It's the Wagner Wire with Isaiah Collier and Sam Pika. Chew on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream the sucker live at hornfm.com.
I'm kicking brand new flavor in your air. Max, brand new flavor in your air. Ha!
Now, back to the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Myself, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Pikachu breaking down all the sports stories that you need from the past weekend. Pretty much the week, because I don't get, you know, I only get a week show. You know, once a week. Matter of fact, since we were talking about it, I think I'm going to start doing some daily streams. Maybe like, you know, 15-minute to 30-minute streams just on, you know, digitally in the web, the World Wide Web or whatnot, starting a YouTube channel. What do you think of that? You think that's fire?
Yeah,
I think that would be fire. I think that would be a whole bunch of fire emojis. And I'll even bring my webcam in here starting maybe next week and start taping our show live. How about that? That would be fire. We'd have to censor a lot of things. Like, you can't see me dancing naked at the break. Like, that just,
that
actually, you
happen.
Could. You could. Don't you lie. Don't
you lie.
Don't you lie.
That's my favorite part of the show, Zay. How dare you?
Now who's telling the truth, huh? Now it's 2-1.
Y'all ain't going to team up on me and put me in we're
gonna double team
situation,
it. We're going to double team out with that.
Absolutely not. See, the terms
Dennis
that
Rodman
you're using
double
right
team.
Now.
Dennis Rodman double team with Jean-Claude Van Damme. How about that? That was one of the worst movies I ever saw in my life. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Welcome my friend Chris Sweet on, a journalist for the Wagner Wire. He gets all the news and nuggets you need for the L.A. Chargers. You can call them the San Diego Chargers if you want to. The San Diego Superchargers. Well, the song's there, but the team is not. So, Chris Sweet, welcome to the Wagner Wire. What do we have to talk about? We got some Darius Geis to talk about, but you got some questions to ask Isaiah Collier, correct?
It's the sweet one.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, fellas, I was listening to the last segment, and I've been watching a lot of basketball with this quarantine going on and playing some DFS lineups. So
Wait, hold on a second. You said cornhole? What did you just say?
Quarantine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Quarantine. Quarantine.
I got you. All right, man.
Out in the country.
Got you. Getting worried there for a second. You were betting on cornhole. Sorry about that.
I might be. It's not like it's not on TV all the time. I was watching foosball championships last night, so who knows?
Hey, dude, you got to have money on the sun coming up too, right?
Got to, yeah.
All right, so what do you got to lay a lot, but... What? What did you say?
You got to lay a lot on the sun coming up, you know, minus 28,
I think it's, yeah, I was going to say, all, yeah, but... we know when it's coming up. You just, you know, there's a chance that it could be wrong, that's for sure. All right, so what you got for Isaiah, man?
Well, you were talking about the duos. I just wondered where you put Luka and the Zinger in there.
Ooh, okay. Where are you at with that?
Yo, they're up there.
Okay.
They're up there.
I mean, I would imagine they're rising in the next couple years.
Would you say that they're top five? I wouldn't put them in top five yet.
They're top 10 easily.
Okay. Yeah.
Easily.
I feel like Zinger is the one holding that back because Luka looks like he could be top five with just about anyone right now.
I'd agree with that. But, I mean, we're also seeing an anomaly of a player like we just got done saying. You know, Luka is different because he's a second year in the league, a rated rookie, but –
Right.
You got to understand that what Zay's point to where he's been playing professionally overseas for, you know, a good four or five years now. I mean, this is the dude's been doing it for a while. He's got, and like to my point that we were talking about to the last segment, he's got a lot of miles on his wheels too. So Zay thinks that this dude can do it at this level for, you know, a good decade. I'm with him there, but I do think the dude moves a little slow. I will say that. He's crafty, though.
They said that about Larry Bird, too.
Yeah, Larry. They said that about Larry Legend. They deceptionally fast, we'll say. Deceptionally fast. We won't call him slow. We'll say deceptionally fast. Yeah, Jim Rat, coach's son, always just in there all the time. All the mechanics, all the intangibles.
I love the coded racism.
Love it, baby.
Fundamentals.
Fundamental racism. All right.
Okay, my second question before we get to some football, I know you did touch on it. TJ Warren, do you think there's some James Harden potential there? James Harden was a known quantity, but it took him a while. He got his own team, and all of a sudden he became a superstar. Do you see superstar potential for TJ Warren? He's averaging like 38 over the last five.
Yeah, I don't know. He reminds me of a lot of Antoine Jamerson. Like, Jamerson was really underrated, but he was just a pure scorer, and he was really big and could stretch the floor. But, yeah, I don't know. TJ Warren is starting to look a little superstar-ish
now,
in the bubble.
Do you think it was that he just went off the past couple of games, or do you think he had really decent matchups? Because you and I both talk about how the Lakers are vulnerable at the perimeter, and this is where he did a lot of his scoring, in between the perimeter and the cup. He got to the cup a couple of times, but the 39 that he got, he was dropping them on the perimeter as well.
Well, he's scoring on everybody. It's not just the Lakers. Like, he's had five straight games of over 30 points, and then that 50 ball that he dropped. And...
Maybe it is true. I mean, he's been just the tip for in heroes and zeros for the past 2 weeks now, man. Don't sneeze on him. What's your theory, Chris?
It's a little out there, but I feel like over the past decade or so, the Pacers seem to do this really well, where you think that they're going to fall off or somebody leaves and a new guy steps up and is a star all of a sudden. You can go all the way back to when they had Danny Granger and then Paul George. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere and was this huge star. Then Paul George leaves and they get Oladipo, and Oladipo can carry the weight. Oladipo's out to start the year. Brogdon's kind of carrying the weight. I feel like they have a good – I don't know if it's a good structure.
I think,
like,
it's a system.
That system.
I mean, Nolan's got a pretty good system, I would think.
No matter what.
I like him a lot. I agree with that completely, because you go all the way back to Reggie Miller, you know, like, he was underrated coming out of the draft,
right.
And he was a steal too. So, yeah, they always get guys in who you think are underrated and nobody talks about, and they develop them so well. So
Jalen Rose, even. They had that year where Jalen Rose kind of carried it for him.
That's a real good good point, Chris. Let me fire one back at you. If you had to make a basketball to football comparison, would you say that the Pacers are kind of the Pittsburgh Steelers because of how they develop their talent or just never seem to miss in the draft?
That's a real good comparison. That's kind of exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, well, I guess, you know, great minds think alike then, Chris. Right on. Well, way to placate to the host. I would love to talk some football, man. I would love to talk some football. What do you got for me? First off, let's start this out with a little bit of Darius Geis talk. Yours truly here has taken Geis now in three straight drafts and has not been able to play him in three straight years. You know, fool me once, fool me twice, shame on me. And then, you know, what's the third one that Michael Scott says? Well, I'm just S-O-L. So, So he got into a dispute with domestic violence. He was released by the Washington football team, and then now he is opting out because essentially he can't play. So
his actions opted out, I believe.
Yeah, by default, you've opted out, Geis. Okay, so the juice can't get loose with Darius Geis now. Where do we turn to if you're a running back? Or if you owned Darius Geis as your fantasy running back, where do you turn to supplement this production?
Well, the Antonio Gibson hype is, like, through the roof right now ever since the Geis news, especially in dynasty formats. He's going, like, really high. I want to say, like, running back 28 or something. So, pretty crazy.
Okay, so can you give us a little bit of familiarity with Gibson and our listeners, too, please?
I don't know enough to really give you the stats and all that. I know he was, I believe, a fourth round pick. So was that day two, early day three? He's got a little bit of draft capital, which you like. You still got AP there. So for this year, I guess it'll be interesting. I imagine they'll, you know, have AP carry the bread again to start the year. But yeah, Gibson's a guy a lot of people like. I know they say he's got some pass catching, background. He's got the fast breakaway speed, but then he doesn't have, from what I read, he doesn't have that much of that many reps. You know?
He just doesn't have the pedigree so far. All right, okay, so let's go to all day. Do you think that Adrian Peterson still has wheels on those tires or miles on those tires to get it done in the NFL? I mean, he just seems like a physical specimen. We talk about LeBron James on this show a lot in his 17 years, just always being able to invest back into his body to create longevity in the league, right? You're seeing that a little bit with, you know, modern day athletes, with a lot of modern day athletes. Is Adrian Peterson one of them? Because it looks like he hasn't slowed down. Yeah, the guy's a 1,000-yard rusher, even in his old age. Do you think he can repeat that?
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that, like you said, LeBron, he just takes care of his body so well in the offseason. As a running back, eventually it's going to break down. We're still waiting for that on Frank Gore. Maybe him and Frank Gore trade notes, but I know AP's always been one of the most notorious workout warriors. I know Melvin Gordon, after his rookie season, not that good of a year, he went and trained in the offseason with Adrian Peterson, and then he had a really good breakout second year with the Chargers. So I wouldn't put it past him, as long as, like, something doesn't completely break down, a knee or something doesn't completely break down. I think he'll still be serviceable. He'll probably still have a couple 100-yard games, and he'll probably be able to get him at a decent value in some DraftKings lineups and stuff like that.
The dude had 1,500 yards the year after he had surgery on his knee.
Oh yeah.
He's not at that level of physical specimen now, but he's still in that range. I mean, this is the type of ball player that we're talking about. He's an athlete. He's tremendous. He is a physical specimen, dude. I would put some money on him, but I also, we got to talk about Bryce Love too, right? Or some of the potential running backs to also spell Geis. And how about McKissick as well?
Yeah, McKissick, you know, he's a guy who's kind of been on the waiver wire. He's been pluggable a few times in his career when he was with the Seahawks, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah, both those guys. I mean, it's just, you know, they're both kind of at this point, they're flyers. You grab a flyer, you hope it hits a dartboard. So they're both guys that I think you need to be invested in a little bit, especially if you, like yourself, you had guys. It doesn't hurt to grab one of those guys.
So, and I'm not really trying to get information in our dynasty league here, Chris, but I mean, this does, you know, this type of situation does pertain to me. So I'm just, you know, trying to get a little bit of nuggets here left and right. Peyton Barber, what do you think Peyton Barber's status to fulfill that role? Do you think that could actually come into fruition?
Man, Peyton Barber, he's been ruining other guys' fantasy potential for years, it seems like.
Right, just taking carries away from people?
Yeah, was it Ronald Jones? All Ronald Jones had to do was beat him out, and he couldn't beat him out the first year, and I guess he kind of beat him out last year.
Yeah, pretty much, and I guess that leads into what you some other matchups that you wanted to talk about. We got Ronald Jones or Keyshawn Vaughn as well. We also talk about Joe Mixon and Leonard Fournette and CHE versus Jonathan Taylor. You also made yeah. didn't you just make a move for CHE or CEH?
Yeah. So in my other dynasty league, the one that you're not in, it's a 10-team single quarterback. It's quarterbacks are six point touchdowns. And there's no negative points, so it's just they've had this same rules for years. I've tried to tell them that you need negative points for interceptions and stuff, but when you're in a league like that, you start playing to the rules. So what I did is I made a trade for the number one overall rookie pick, which we have not had our draft yet, which is basically the rights to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I also got Lamar Jackson.
So wait, you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be drafted over? Over CeeDee Lamb, over Mr. Sedarius Lamb?
Oh, yeah. I think okay. Sure. I don't think it's really close right now. I think Lamb's more like the fourth or fifth overall pick in a draft like that. I think the top three running backs that I was talking about, it'll probably go Helaire, Taylor, Dobbins.
Where do you put Swift? Where's Swift's potential? Not to get you off track, but out of rookie running backs, where do you see Swift land?
Him and Akers are kind of in that next tier after those top three, I'd say. I love Swift, the player. I really liked him, and then he lands in Detroit, and yeah. I know some people think that's a good landing spot, but it's always been the same type of thing as we're talking about with Tampa Bay. It's like the new guy comes in, he's going to do the thing, but then, they give the guy that's been there a few years, like, way too many carries. They've been doing that for the last 5-6 years, ever since Amir Abdullah was the new hot guy, and then I'm trying to think. Joyke Bell was getting. I think it was Joyke Bell or something.
Yeah, it was Joyke Bell. But and Chris, you make a great point. But to my, to my memory, if it serves me correctly, I don't think Detroit has had a running game since Barry Sanders left.
Not a consistent one,
right?
They had Kevin Smith, and they had a season here or there where they actually Reggie Bush
came in, right? Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, so
getting back to my trade. So I got the 1-1, which is I'm going to take – spoiler alert if anyone's listening to my league, I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Lamar Jackson. I gave up DeAndre Hopkins. I gave up Evan Ingram, Devin Singletary, the 9th overall pick, and the 17th overall pick in our rookie draft.
Nice. So you looks like you made out like a bandit, or it seems like you made out like a bandit so far.
Yeah, it was a blockbuster. I did one of those trade calculators where it added up. I was giving away more than I was getting back, but I feel like in any trade like that, you want the best player.
Right.
That's how I that's how I try to make trades.
I'd have to agree with you there. All right. So what are we looking forward to going into fantasy football? I mean, we got a whole bunch of opting out talk to discuss. I would assume so. I rolled this rabbit hole conspiracy theory by you about a couple of days ago, and you told me to pump the brakes on it. But what if it's actually happening, Chris? What if the New England Patriots, what if a key group of personnel for the New England Patriots are opting out this year just so they can tank a little bit for Trevor Lawrence? Now, you and I both agree that this is not what Bill Belichick is about, but it's 2020, dude. It's 2020. Anything can happen.
I mean, you can look at it either way. You can say,
Chris, keep an open mind, Chris.
You can say it's not like Bill Belichick, but then you can also say, oh, he's such a genius, he's going to throw a year away and get Trevor Lawrence. But you bring Cam Newton in to throw a year away, I don't think he's going to buy into that. I mean, Cam's not going to go there and not try to win.
No, Cam, this is Cam's, I guess, second revival, right? This is his chance to audition himself because he's in a contract year.
He wants to get paid. And I would imagine Bill Belichick wants him to get paid by taking them to the playoffs and winning another AFC East championship. I'm sure – you think Bill Belichick's sitting around hearing the Bills get smoke blown up there, you know what?
And oh, yeah, like, oh, I'm loving that.
I'll let the I'll let the Bills win this year. You think Bill Belichick's really going to do that?
Or the Dolphins? Or the Jets?
Or do you think he's going to say, hey, we're going to pick Josh Allen off 5 times when we play them? Because I think he's more like along those lines.
That's so. That's where I'm at, too. I just wanted to throw a little bit of the conspiracy theory love.
I mean,
out there.
There's definitely something going on there, and it's probably not, you know, Bill Belichick's probably not the one telling them all to opt out. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, when 8 guys from one team sits out,
just raise your eyebrow a little bit, right?
Yeah, when something smells, you got to check it out. You know, garbage to see.
Yeah, when Reed was a kid and everything, and he, you know, walked around smelling or whatnot, I didn't let him just sit around in that diaper. I had to look in there. I had to give a little peek.
I did that this morning, so I know exactly where you're coming from.
Oh my God!
I got the 8-month-old. So.
Go ahead, Zay.
Yo, sweet. You know we're in the ATX, man. Baker Mayfield, year 3. How's he going to look? New coach, new offensive coordinator, really talented team, all the weapons he needs to have. What are we going to see from Baker this year?
Check the diaper.
Yeah, I hope we're going to see a lot of good stuff because he was my QB1 in that Dynasty League before I traded for Lamar Jackson, so... I definitely bought in. I took him as a rookie with that low first round pick. Loved what I saw year 1. Thought he was my QB of the future. And then last year, you know, I think really coaching got in the way of him last year. I think getting a coach in there that's with him, that believes in him, and like you said, so much talent. I mean, last year they had a lot of talent and it fell flat on the face. But I think that they just have a little better infrastructure there for him this year. And I think he's going to be good this year. I can see top 10, maybe top 5 fantasy QB this year.
His weapons are too good to not be able to produce, Chris.
Yeah, if you can't, then I mean, I feel sorry for the Browns fans. It's time to go back to the drawing board once again. Feel like they've done that, you know, every year.
They're going back to the drawing board. All right, Chris, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Poor clock management, as usual, on the Wagner Wire for segment number 2. But we got to get you back in here next week or within 2 weeks. How about that?
Definitely.
All right. It is the season. It's the reason for the season, Chris. It's fantasy football, and you're the sweet one.
You got to stay good, man.
All right, brother. Be good, man. We'll talk to you soon. There he goes, Chris Sweet. On the other side, well, it's probably going to be some touch and go, as usual. Touch and go with Isaiah, myself, and Sam here on the Wagner Wire, 1049, 1019 AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We took the hour talking a little bit about NFL and NBA. We'll have some MLB and NHL to talk about on the other side. It's the flip side, hour number 2 of the Wagner Wire. Don't go nowhere.